Welcome back to the Building Manager Podcast. My name is Matt Osborne and I'm your host. This is proudly recorded through Anchor by Spotify. Just a big thank you to all the listeners out there who have been tuning in to the Building Manager Podcast. If you would like to follow on, please feel free to click on the follow link and I'm sure that they'll pop into your inbox when they're available. I'm very, very excited today about the interview that I have been given or granted. I'm interviewing a very well-organized and a very well-respected business owner all the way from Dubai, Mr. Tarek Chohan, who is the group CEO and co-founder of EFS Facilities Management Services. So sit back, relax and enjoy the show. I will see you on the other side. Well, welcome, Mr. Tarek Chohan, the group CEO and co-founder of EFS Facility Services in Dubai. Look, it's an absolute great honour to have you on the Building Manager Podcast.
Thank you, please.
Look, if you don't mind, Tarek, just perhaps sharing with our listeners how your business was developed into the success that it is today.
Well, I think the word success is a tall word. I'm being very careful. The only way a lot of people ask me, how do you want to be identified with? So I said three important things: who you do business with, what do you do for them, and what have you accomplished for them? So with these three words, I would go back to between 2009, when we were in about $20 million in revenues with about three countries operations and with 17 or 20 clients. Between then and now, we are in 23 countries. We have crossed close to $1 billion in revenues, and we have accomplished over 520 clients, almost 97% client retention. How we have accomplished it? Indeed, it goes to the people first, and no service organization, especially the facility management organization, is one where it's all about people. And you've got to have passionate people, you've got to have a people, those who have bought into the shared vision of the organization. And the shared vision of the organization was to be a organization of a preferred choice for its clients. So how we were able to do it, I was able to pick up the right team, and then not just the team alone, but to expand that team to build a people first organization. So before we could go and talk about additional services, new clients, we first prepared ourselves to ensure that there's a shared vision in the organization across the entire mainstream organization. Blue-collar workforce, which is fundamentally the main drivers of most facility management business, if you are in self-delivery business or if you are in output business, both, it mattered. So we ensured that 60 to 70% of people who were the boots on the ground, we were able to bring their partnership in the mainstream. We worked around people, system, and structure. These were the three most important things that right from the very beginning I emphasized on. When we talk about people, we talk about organization, people first, ability to ensure that learning, development, employee well-being, training in terms of more an element of procession. And then eventually a structure. facility management industry between the last 10 years have gone through a significant challenge of lean. An organization that were not lean but did have a difficulty because historically real estate has come under pressure globally. There has been tremendous pressure on developers and landlords to cut cost for various reasons. Thirdly, the industry also evolved. So lean structure was critical to the organization. And we worked around creating role and service integration. We ensured higher productivity and eventually systems. So when we talk about systems, means technology. Technology has been one of the biggest enabler in accomplishing this objective of a lean as well as more transparent organization. Well, I would say that technology is still very far from its ultimate impact in FM. FM is talking about it, but it has really not adapted it in a holistic manner. And having been working with across 23 countries and also deep diving with my principals in US, Europe, and in some other parts of the world, I will say with confidence that technology is still far, it's at nascent stage when it comes to facility management.
Yeah.
The use of technology from a holistic perspective is at that nascent stage. So these were the three most important things that we aligned it right at the very beginning. We realized that it was a journey and that we need to evolve in due course of along with the business. Then I went on to work on the business strategy. We realized at the very early stages that you can't be if you have to be an IFM player, you need to be in self-delivery business. You can't just be. So we tried consolidating our services by ensuring soft, hard, and most of the services are self-delivered rather than outsourced. And we went on to work with supply chain to consolidate supply chain, because supply chain and facility management is very fragmented. And by virtue of its nature of business is such that you cannot have a Fortune 500 company as your partners, because 2/3 of your goods and services that you require are such in nature. Barring the OEMs, you don't necessarily have a critical mass for many of those businesses, so not large companies are there in. Especially in consumable side, you find a lot of small operators. So supply chain had its own challenges, and we had to ensure that we reorganize a logistics, moving from a replenishment to in-house stores, to creating satellite stores, to improvising on transportation. These are all lot of inefficiencies sitting in there. So fortunately, we were able to scale up the business also, because sometimes many small operators might come and question me saying that, oh, if you don't have a scale, it may be difficult. So we had our eye on the scalability, because we knew that to consolidate some of these services, you require a critical mass. So I did not take away my eye from the bigger picture on the business growth. So we moved our business in five different verticals. Mixed use, where we were concentrating on large government and semi-government entities, so we were able to mobilize large projects. Then banking, which is a very specialist segment in FM, due to business continuity, HSC, and end user experience perspective. So we brought in a banking vertical within the organization. Third vertical we created was because of being in the region, oil and gas.
Yes.
Oil and gas was established with mature players in the market, not necessarily in FM, but more in services.
Right.
And then I went on to expand on workplace management solution, because this was something which was badly needed by global multinationals. And there were not many single regional players in the business. They were mostly country operators. Each country had its own few or three operators. So we wanted to create an option of single window dealing for global multinationals in the region. So we went on to bring in working with integrators as well as directly with clients to bid for contracts.
Right.
In the workplace management solutions, which were more horizontal services than vertical.
Hmm.
Now, within facility management, when we talk about vertical services, we refer to building management services. You have a tower or a building and you manage. But in a workplace solution, these are mostly global multinationals subleasing or leasing 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 square feet of space, and they require some services, very small level of hard services, more of soft services.
Right.
Front of house, back of house, housekeeping.
Concierge.
So we went on to build that capability.
Mm.
And with that capability, with expanding operations from three countries to five, to seven, and then ultimately to 21 countries. The idea was to be a provider of a preferred choice for global multinationals looking to do business.
Mm.
Their concerns were high compliance standard, HSE and compliance across multiple country, in-country compliances, global compliances. And thirdly, a better contract management with some innovative style. So you are aware that the global multinationals in facility management operate under mostly glide path of savings, gain share models. Those kind of innovative models were very new to the market, new to the region. So we worked through few, and then we mastered the art of doing that. So we expanded that particular capability in 2011 to 2012. And between then and now, today, about 20% of our business sits with workplace management solutions.
Hmm.
About 10% of our business sits with oil and gas. About 20% of our business sits with banking, where we serve to the needs of some of the group, the largest global banks in the region. And then we went on to build a industrial capability, which was new to facility management. Most facility management companies have not really made some significant inroads into the industrial side.
Mm.
And these are either large catering companies and others. So we did create some capability on the industrial. And besides that, 50% of our business remained with large government entities, where we had long-term contracts between 5 to 7 years. I was always careful about building a backlog, because if you don't have a strong backlog, your ability to invest long-term in the business, which is critically needed for facility management, facility management is no existing margins are not good enough to justify, to provide for cash flows, or the economics doesn't allow you to have investments, any significant investment, but you require significant investments in technology and processes.
Definitely.
Upskilling and others. And if you have a big backlog, it gives you a definitive future assurance of a business in pipeline. And that helped me to put some investment upfront.
Mm. Well, you've certainly come a long way since 2009, and I'm sure it will continue as we move through, as you've mentioned, different technologies. It's some of the technologies, certainly over here in Australia, are far behind, I think, the rest of the world. And from my experience in managing buildings, it's been well past the need of a tool, shall we say, for the building manager or the building management company to have available to them. It seems like you've certainly on the right path over there. Look, having, I guess, a broad spectrum of services that you've just mentioned there requires a really diverse number of qualified people to rely on, and people is certainly something big that you're on. The long list of soft services, from laundry management to concierge, your other more technical offerings through facility services and bio cleaning, requires quite a dedicated human resource allocation. Look, often in the FM and building management sectors, the HR teams can be pivotal to the employment section. What sort of influencing factors does your human resource team have in the qualification of your people?
See, unfortunately, in Middle East, with the a strong influence of the European influence in the Middle East, there was a large number of workforce with qualified, with definitely past experiences, but not necessarily with high qualifications.
Mm.
So what happened when I came in, let me give it to you my background. I'm primarily economics graduate and with master's later years in my life, and then Harvard Business School. I spent my first 20 years of my career before coming to facility management was in banking, technology, and transaction services.
Right.
And being an entrepreneur at a very early age, post my banking days, I decided to become an entrepreneur in financial service. And then eventually had been an entrepreneur since 1997. So I had a background, a very limited background in facility management, only till 2005, when I took over when I started building a technology business, and then I came across a technology called Archibus, which is a US-based software.
Okay.
So having my initial, exposure to facility management through the Archibus, and then got involved with some scalable projects. So when I came on board the facility management industry in 2009, I was surrounded by a lot of people seemingly experienced in certain trades, but they were not experienced people. And many of them and being a qualified person with masters and Harvard and others, I was somehow very picky and choosy with regards to choosing qualified people with education,
right,
and right qualifications for the right job.
Mm.
So having to look at people's perspective from job description to be aligned to the past experience, I went into personal, professional, and functional attributes of the people. And we would make it very, very important or absolutely critical that we don't hire people if they do not have all the three elements. So personal qualification would refer to the actual qualification, experience aligned to the job description, professional attributes. So we would do psychometric of people, analysis. We will ensure that people in the past have worked in similar job alignments. And we also ensure that we have a diversity and inclusivity as a critical part of us hiring the people in the organization and ensuring that they are embedded in the organization.
Mm.
So not just picking up one from a one block or one country or one. I went into diversity as a very critical requirement, in addition to the personal, professional, and functional attributes.
Sure.
But we would not only look at those three, we would also ensure that what do we need in the long run to sustain these operations.
Mm.
Definitely, the salary band was always a criteria because to ensure that we are aligned to the commercial dynamics, the way the business was evolving. But apart from that, we also ensured that we got a strong hiring process with ensuring that all three elements are very well aligned. So globally, I can confirm to you, having been FM never sleeps. So over the last 14 years being a CEO of EFS and a co-founder, when I took over EFS, it was a global company with an alignment with the association with a large American company. And then eventually I bought over that company and then built EFS into a more of a homogeneous with a combination of global experience, global knowledge, regional presence, and local experience.
Mm.
So this was the three key criteria when I created EFS. And the idea was that we would bring the global knowledge. We did have some good, very fine professionals who have worked in diverse and complex global environments and those who came on board to do the knowledge transfer. But more importantly, I also created a strong regional workforce with a lot of South Asian and Arabic resources,
mm.
having them trained through the new systems and procedures and having them to put in a what we call it is a workforce that owned learning and development as integral to building a long-term organization. So as of today, every single professional with me, most of these are qualified engineers with doctorates and postgraduate degrees and some with bachelors. Each one of them are certified with very specific FM related experiences
mm.
or people in shared services with their relevant fields and others. So qualified human resources professional was indeed my priority. We ensured that we brought in qualified people so that we could build on our future organization for future. But skilling and especially upskilling is becoming a big challenge in the FM.
Mm.
One is this industry is growing at leaps and bounds for the last many, many years. It's been growing at almost above 10 on a global basis. And if I look at Middle East, it is a little bit more, I would say, maybe 12 or 13%.
Right.
The second issue is, and I'm working currently on this particular project with two of the UK and American entities. The upskilling is industry is facing for one is the growth, which is leading to more and more people are absorbed, qualified people in this growth side of the FM. Second is the colleges and universities have not yet, reworked on their curriculums. More and more engineers related professionals coming, not familiar with the way the technologies are changing, especially in the hard services segment. We apparently seem to have a lot of shortage of people. But not that soft doesn't have that, but hard definitely have. And there is a skill set is widening day by day. What is the right way to do it? I think FM has to, there has to be much larger initiatives between the colleges, universities, and the workplaces to put together some incubation environments. The companies have to put in a lot more extra resources to upskill people within their own existing organization. That's not happening. And third is the clients have to also recognize some level of on-the-job training as a part of the continuous process to improve their own projects and ensure that they pay service providers for that cost.
Absolutely. You've mentioned quite a number of things there, and I think several items that come to mind, particularly for yourself, is the recognition of the ISO qualifications that you've achieved. There's certainly nothing to be sneezed at, a bit of a common saying over here. Very, very difficult to get through, so congratulations on your ISO qualifications. Training perspective, certainly, I think here in Australia, it really shouldn't be limited, but it does appear to be. And, we've got a lot to learn, I think, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to speak to you about your business. And so hopefully get some brighter ideas and information specifically here in Australia. The on-the-job training that you've just mentioned, I think is pivotal to the FM industry, and it certainly has to happen no matter what. You mentioned on-the-job training just before, and there was something that I read on your website that I think is rather important, I think, in any industry, and it was you offer something called the Hero Program, and I think that was absolutely fabulous. Would you mind just briefly explaining a little bit about that?
Yeah, hazard evaluation and risk ownership. I'll just touch back on both elements, but I just wanted to touch upon the learning, on-the-job learning. This we talk about 20, 30, 50 approach, blended learning, where 20% we do it through a classroom interface where there is a third party would do instructions and help to go through the curriculums and others. 30% of them is on online. And 50% is on the job, right, where you have a mentoring and a coaching program, where on the job, there's somebody who's mentoring and coaching you. Now, this program has helped me to do a significant change. It has also helped me to reduce my resource mobilization that I need to do for L&D. It has gone by supporting the classroom in a more effective manner. And eventually it has been very, very successful. Coming back to Hero, my biggest challenge, or I would say an area of concern that I have about facility management, or for that matter, the rest of the world, on safety. Safety is seen always as a more of a preventative way, as more out of fear. It should be a culture.
Yeah.
In the organization.
Definitely.
Or for that matter, it should start from self and then to others. You need to first secure yourself, and safety starts with your health, awareness, self-awareness. So we look at tying a belt, but we don't look at covering our mouth when we are sneezing. So the objective is that you create, and that is something my colleague Lauren, a very fine professional who heads my HSC, was previously heading fire safety for the Victorian government. So it wasn't just the HSC officers or the HSC champions, but we had multiple people coming forward to be a part of this program. And it exactly did the same thing. You also touched upon ISO, and many people find me a little bit more idealistic in my approach. But for me, certifications should not be something as a matter of to flaunt around or keep it on your walls as a certificate.
Mm.
These are actually way to help you to improve your standards, improve your compliance, help you to be aware of what these certifications stand for. And so at EFS, purely from a leadership perspective, I continue to keep telling people to rise above certifications, rise above, you know, finding your solace in your accreditations and processes and all. These should be reminders that you have a responsibility. So these certifications comes to you with a certain level of responsibility. And you got to deliver things mindful of the fact that you've been given these accreditations and certifications, and you need to deliver.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really am quite a big believer in on-the-job training, and I think we've got a lot to learn from it. I think the parts that you mentioned about fire was certainly, you know, it's an evolving industry, I guess, over here. And one of my interviews recently was with a company with FireMate, who have aligned themselves with the Standards Australia, and it's something that's been needed for such a long time. So quite pleased to see that someone finally has developed a platform and program that is quite easily accessible and quite user-friendly, I should say, also, not only for the contractors, but for the building owners and those who are inside it. Well, Tarak, I'm very grateful for your time today to be my guest on the Building Manager podcast, and I really do wish you and your team at EFS Facility Services the best for 2022 and into the future. Might I just ask, perhaps, where to from here? You've gone into several countries. Have you thought about coming over to the Southeast Asia and perhaps Australia?
Well, one thing very important, I've always been very careful about the pedigree of the organization and what has exactly the pedigree entails. If I bring I don't know much about the dogs, but I heard about the many people talking about those pedigrees, and sometimes you get a cocker spaniel from UK into a very rugged environment of somewhere in the Middle East. It doesn't become easy to keep him happy and, you know, help him to, you know, grow or be happy with that. So same is the case with the EFS. It has a pedigree where system, people, structure, all those are very important things but it also has a certain level of pedigree of a ability to blend people from multiple cultures, multiple backgrounds. So I also look at the way that our business model is. So definitely I have plans to expand. I don't know whether I would come that far to us, to Australia, but I definitely have a Far East in mind. Reason why I believe Australia has a very well-established setup. Mm. It is one of the earlier pioneers in facility management. They are somebody who have built extraordinarily great, I must say, on at least on the building management side. Some good work was done in the initial years. And with a very well-established property business, property and real estate business, I may have a limited value proposition. But as a way to expand business, EF is definitely we're looking to be we've got an aim to be a provider of a preferred choice for many more global multinationals. And as a way to service their needs, I'm definitely moving. So far, I have come all the way up to South Asia. And we definitely want to expand into Far East to be able to service these global clients.
Terrific. Well, once again, I am very, very grateful for your time. I know that you're a busy man. And once again, thanks for joining me on the Building Manager podcast, and very grateful for your time.
Having a pleasure talking to you, and I'm more than happy for me or my organization anytime that you're looking to seek some inputs, if you want to share some data, or you want us to share some insight from our end. We're more than happy, because we care about facility management industry. This industry is definitely in an aberrated stage. It requires a lot more interventions. It needs a lot more worldly wise interventions.
Definitely.
And yep. Hopefully sense will prevail, and a lot more people will come forward to eventually build a great sustainable FM environment.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate the offer, and I'll take you up on it. That's for sure. I'm very grateful. Have yourself a lovely day, and I look forward
to reading. Thank you. Pleasure talking to you.
Take care. Bye for now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Tarek Chauhan, who is the Group CEO and co-founder of EFS Facility Services in Dubai. I feel very, very honoured to have had the interview with Tarek today, and I really do hope that the listeners do get a lot of information out of the discussions that we've had. EFS Facility Services are certainly playing a big part in conducting themselves very, very professionally in a number of countries across the globe, and I wish them the very best for not only 2022 but into the future. So if you'd like to follow on and subscribe to the Building Manager podcast, you can do so by clicking the follow button or the subscribe button, depending on which podcast avenue you're listening to. A big shout out to all you building managers out there who are keeping everyone safe, and of course the facility managers doing much the same. This has been the Building Manager podcast. My name is Matt Osborne, and I look forward to speaking with you all once again next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye for now.